Oh, are you going to preach with me? I said, are you going to preach with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How much are you expecting God to continue to do? Whew. His presence is so real. And that was with praise and worship. It creates an atmosphere for something else. The Bible says in Genesis that first the Spirit of the Lord began to move. And once the Spirit of God moved, it allowed the opportunity for him to then say, let there be light. So the Spirit begins to move first before the Word of God is released. Are you hearing me? So we allow the Spirit of God to be present, and the atmosphere is ready for God to now speak some powerful things inside of your life. And that's why it's important for us to praise and worship, to set the atmosphere to be ready now for God to speak something mighty to us. Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to read quick, all right? Start with verse 1. I'm going to read quickly. Follow along. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He sat it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent it to gather the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, sheriffs, the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye will fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falls not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused Jews. These were some people that said, I choose to be different. I choose to stand out. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, of the flute, of the harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down, worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fire furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then they brought these men before the king. Now pay attention to verse 14. That's where we will find the title of our text. Verse 14 of chapter 3 of Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Question number one. Number two, now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And second question, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Don't get it twisted, part four, entitled, You've Asked the Wrong Question, Sir. You've asked the wrong question, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, your name has been glorified in this place, and we know that you are here right now. But at this moment, we're asking you, O God, to allow us to be able to retain the meat of the word of God and allow a revelation word to come to us, enlighten us, and therefore empower us through the word of God, and allow us never to be the same again. Give us a spiritual attitude, a holy roar in our spirit to defy the things the enemy would try to force upon us. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the church say amen and clap your hands in the house of the Lord as you are seated. Hallelujah. In looking at this story, I asked myself, what is the big deal and what is the significance of bowing down to something? And it is to show weakness by agreeing to the demands or following the orders of someone or something. So it says, you are asking me to do something I cannot do. I know I might be under your natural rule, but I am not under your spiritual rule. I have some things on earth I have to deal with, but there are some higher things that are above the earth that I have to deal with, and there's somebody greater than you that I truly answer to. I might be outnumbered in regards to others that have no problem bowing down. They have no problem because they have succumbed themselves, praise God, to the difficult true environment that is around them. They have seen that there is no more reason to stand out. They are no longer under godly leadership. They are no longer in an ideal environment. They are in a place where they feel they have been abandoned and let down. They are in a place they thought they would never find themselves in. Can I get an amen? So to feel where they were at was to bow down. It was to come to the conclusion that I am absolutely showing my weaknesses, and I am absolutely agreeing with the demands and order of the one who is now in charge of my natural life, which means I'm not shying away from it. I'm not hiding it. I'm telling you loud and wide open that I am in a place that I should not be in. And by me edifying and bowing down to this image, signifying, saying, well, he's the one that's in charge of my life right now. He is the one that has me in captivity right now. He's the one that got me going on in the middle of all I'm going through. It is only meaningful me then. It only makes sense for me to go ahead and bow down. I mean, I found it very interesting that everyone bowed on cue. Again, I repeat the thought that he reigns in this life. And there will always be a majority that will bow to someone else's authority if you're not submitted to God. Let me tell you, you might not think you are submitted to the devil, but if you're not submitted to God, there is no other option. And whether you think you are or not is not relevant to the enemy. So long as you're not bowing down to God, he'll take that as you are a part of his world and his kingdom. And so the Bible letting us know that if you have a true belief in the promises that God has given to you, you cannot bow down. And I know people act like that they are the rulers of their own lives. I know many people act like they are the masters of their own destiny. But if you're not submitted to God in your conviction, don't kid yourself, and you don't get it twisted either. You are absolutely under the influence of the devil. You better hear what I'm saying. If you don't know how to come in the house of God and bless him, if you don't know how to have a long time with prayer and seeking the face of God and say, Lord, I'm submitted to not my will, but thy will be done. If you don't have a mindset that says, for God I live and for God I
die, then you are under somebody else's influences, and you might be pulled, even though you have a whole bunch of distracting things going on in your life. You can be in a place of strongholds and difficulties in the natural, and you'll find yourself more pulled down and bowed down and lose out in your desire to follow God because of those difficult places, because you're saying, I'm not the master of my own destiny. But in reality, you are caught up in the webs and the traps of your enemy. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve two masters. If a man will come after me, what he has to do is he has to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus says, for whoever save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But what profit a man if he should gain the whole world but yet lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And so how are there ways that you know you are under the influence of your enemy? Or if you are under the influence of God, ask yourself the question, do I submit myself to God, or do I do things that please me? Do I submit myself to God, or do I do things in the name of convenience? Do I worship God when things are going good, or do I not worship him when things are going bad? I want to tell true believers, more worship should happen in the bad times than they are in the good times. Oh, you better hear what I'm saying. The worse things get in your life, the more you should be bowing your head down and say, I need thee, oh Lord, I need thee every hour. Don't turn your back on God in the middle of your darkest time. In the middle of your darkest time is a time where you must draw nigh unto God. And he says, I will then draw nigh unto thee. Is there anybody here that you've been through some dark moments, but you made up in your mind, I'm going to go in the house of God. And you made up in your mind, I'm going to get in the presence of God. Can you attest to somebody today and say, God made it all right. God gave me power. God gave me strength. God gave me hope. I did cry my tears, but I was able to wipe them because I heard the word of God say, everything is going to be all right. I might have that cloud above me, but I see a silver lining because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can't put words on it. I can't explain it, but there's something about really being in the presence of Almighty God. A drug can't do it. Alcohol won't fix it. But when I get baptized with the presence of God and filled with the Spirit, something comes over me. I can't explain it. But one thing I know, he's a comforter. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And so I know I gotta get in the presence of my King. But again, that was one of the reasons that Daniel wrote this book inspired by the Holy Ghost. He knew the reality is that the majority of us, me included, have problems when things are difficult. We are not trying. Please, please hear what I'm trying to tell you. We are not trying to sit up here and be holier than thou and act like we've never been in a place where we said, you know, this time around, I found myself for whatever reason on this side of the majority. Yeah. There's a lot of times where I am praying and fasting all week and worshiping, praising God and decreeing and declaring. But a lot of times I find myself in the majority sucking my thumb, a pity party, because I don't understand why I have to go through what I'm going. That's the majority I'm talking about, and I include myself in that part. I'm not sitting up here acting like there are some times where it rains and it pours even more. I don't have all the answers to everything that we're going through and what we're facing. We're not trying to present to you you. Some ooey gooey fake religion. Everybody's always on cloud nine. No, sometimes I'm not in Jerusalem. Sometimes I'm in the middle of Nebuchadnezzar's camp. Sometimes I'm going through a battle. Sometimes I'm going through a storm. Sometimes I have questions I have no answers for. Sometimes I have problems with no solutions. That's the reality of where Daniel found himself in. Don't come in here thinking that everybody here has things all together. There are times when we've been weak and we feel simply like we don't have a strength enough to walk with the minority. And so it's easier to join in with the majority. Sometimes it's hard to pray in the middle of the storm. Sometimes it's hard to decree and declare in the middle when destruction's all around me. Decree and declare what right in front of me is a huge problem. Right in front of me is a barrier. Right in front of me. It's a mountain. I don't see no time for decreeing and declaring with instructions around my life. But Daniel wrote this book not for the minority that's doing well. He wrote this book for the majority that wasn't. Sometimes we don't understand why the Word of God is even written. We hear the stories in Sunday school, but please hear me. The book of Daniel was actually written for the majority, because the majority bowed down. The majority was in captivity. The majority was not walking right, doing right, living right. But God says, Daniel, still write a word. But I'm going to show even the majority I'm not going to forsake them either. I'm not going to leave the majority where they are. I'm going to create an opportunity for the majority to get on the right side once they get a revelation of the kind of God they are serving. The reason why we stay in the majority and not transition to the minority is our lack of understanding. But I pray before the service is over, wherever you find yourself in, you're going to get a revelation that says, I know what side I can be on, because God is the one that made that path, not because of me, but because of him. I'm going to tell you, Daniel said, it ain't you. It's going to be God that's going to provide an opportunity for the majority to get in the minority. So that can be you here today. Whatever you find yourself in, you can be on the right side. The Word of God is not here only to focus in on what our problems are and show us how messed up we all are, and just bash us with a mirror that shows all the flaws we absolutely have. But the devil wants to highlight those things. But let me tell you, God also wants to highlight those things. Can I talk about a man named David? A man after God's own heart. And they begin to pen about his sin. An angel probably said, hold on, don't write about his fornication. Don't write about his adultery and murder. And God says, why not? Because when they see someone who fell and I picked them up, then they have hope that if they fail, they'll know that great is my faithfulness. And my compassions fail not. And my mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Can I tell you, the Word of God is not for the minority. The Word of God is for the majority. He said, I wish that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. And so I'll show you your flaws, but I won't leave you there. The Word of God is to point out as a mirror our flaws, but then also to provide solutions. I'm not going to just talk to you about flaws without providing a solution. I mean, we're already condemned, are we not? We already have things that we're ashamed about, don't we? I don't need you to just bash. I get that part. But how do I get out of what I'm in? How do I change from bowing down to say I'm not going to bow down no more? How do I get from following my flesh to then walking in the Spirit? And the Word of God says, that's where I'm here to show you. I will be honest. I will give you examples. But at the same time, I will also position you and give you a word and a hope of a word that will present to you people in the Word of God that you can look to and say, there is the answer and there is a solution to get out what you are getting into. That's why you got to get in the Word of God and look at people in the Word of God. and say, my God, these problems in the Word are just like mine. Peter had problems. Paul had problems. David had problems, but yet they overcome. And so if I got a problem today, I still can overcome. He said, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. And that's why he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because you know that you know that you know that you know. If it had not been for the mercy and the grace of God, you would not be here. But you are quick to raise your hand and shout hallelujah and say, my God, he is good. And my God is more than enough. And my God's grace is sufficient for my lack and for the thorns that are in my flesh. I gotta tell you, I love preaching the word of God, because the word of God is life. The word of God is power. The word of God is strength. Many times when I grew up in church, I heard preaching growing up. Sometimes it sounded like the men of God, as reverence we give to them, if they only focus on all the weaknesses I knew I had, without at the same time presenting a solution to the weaknesses that I had. I tell you, we're living in an hour where we need to be honest and say, yes, there are many times I am in the majority, but at the same time, help me get in the minority. Help me get to a place where I am able to stand in hard times. In the past, I can never stand in hard times. I've been in the majority, but help me get over to the other side. And that's why this series has been so important for us. Give me a word that would transform me. So the book of Daniel is presented. Present to those what the minority strategies were and the principles, the correct outlook, and how to deal with difficult places and situations. Going back to the text this morning, we see King Nebuchadnezzar at it again. Again, he's flexing his muscles. Many scholars believe it is no coincidence that the story in chapter 3 about the image of gold comes immediately after chapter 2. If you were here last week, we talked about how the king had a dream and Daniel interprets that dream. And the key part of that dream was this main statue here, and the head was made of gold. And Daniel revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that you are that head of gold. So now going to chapter 3, we see that Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of gold, signifying that he is getting boastful about what God saw him as. And so his narcissism could not be withheld, and he has to make this gold image. Again, it signifies, now follow me here, the times of the Gentiles, which we still are living in. And the times of the Gentiles is a time period that God has allowed where Gentiles have rule over Abraham's children, the nation of Israel. But it's only going to be a period of time where Gentiles are ruling over God's people. And during this time is the grace dispensation. It is the opportunity for non-Jewish people to come into the will and the plan of God. That's why if you've not yet been born of the water and of the Spirit, you are not part of the church that God has allowed a grace period of time in order for us to have right standing with God. That is going to close when the times of the Gentiles has come to an end. And so if you've not yet been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And he will give you his Holy Ghost, and you will be ready for when the time of grace ends. You'll say, that's all right, God, take me home. I feel the Holy Ghost. And so Daniel is here in the book, and he's writing these things. And now Nebuchadnezzar erects this golden image as a representation of himself being the one responsible to get himself where he is as a head of gold. It is the enemy of the people of God literally rubbing in the things he's done to us. Do you ever feel like the enemy's trying to rub stuff in your face? That's what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. I'm the head of gold. I got here. I'm ruling over God's people. You better hear the deep things I'm talking about right now. The devil's saying, I'm ruling you. I'm ruling you, and you're a child of God. And he's making images in your life saying, do you see how mighty I am in your life? I'm the one that has conquered you. I'm the one who shows you your failures. And in place, what does he command? When you are in a place that you are vulnerable in, he says, when you're in that place, you must bow down to what symbolizes what has caused you to be captive, and in turn place your faith not in God but in me. When you are in a place where you are not in control, then Nebuchadnezzar said, this is what you need to do. When you're not in control, you either turn your attention towards me and bow down to me. Turn your attention towards your problems and keep on bowing down in that problem. Yeah, when you're facing difficult situations, keep on focusing on that difficult thing. Put your eyes on the image, not on your God. And he makes it so large. And so instead of watching God, you keep on watching your problem. You keep watching your lack, watching your mistakes. And Nebuchadnezzar says, yeah, bow down to the image. Come on, let that be your focus. Let that be what you put your mindset on. Again, bowing down is what you are focusing in on, what you are magnifying, what you are giving magnificence to and superiority over you. And your God is saying, submit to me. You are willing to recognize its mighty feet. You are willing to agree that it is something that should be worshipped. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about a literal golden image. When we discuss this, we need to recognize and realize that it is a natural thing there in the Word of God, but it is a symbolic to the things you are dealing with in your world. We all have things that are towering over us in our world. So on the scene, he invites all types of rulers, leaders, governors, lawgivers, judges, treasurers, magistrates to dedicate this grand image. And the order of the dedication was the fact that on cue, all of you, when you hear these various instruments being played and you hear its music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image. And it keeps on saying this phrase that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. And again, it says that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. You are here seeing the image, but it's not about the image. It's really about the one who's setting up the image. It's about the one who's putting things in front of you to cause you to focus on those things. The image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. The enemy is setting up things that he wants you to bow down to. The enemy is setting up things that are large and in your face, and setting up things that are towering, and setting up things that get you focused on those things, and setting up things that make you feel how small and how insignificant you are. He's setting up things that make you feel that you have no other choice but to bow down to the particular situation that you right now are dealing with. It is the thing that the powerful king of this world has set up. When you hear the tunes that are going on in your life, on cue, change your attitude. On cue, get a bad attitude. On cue, get into depression. On cue, go into anxiety. And on cue, go into depression. On cue, negativity. On cue, on cue, on cue. When I present this thing to you, on cue, you go straight to the negative. You go straight to the worst case scenario. Nebuchadnezzar is setting up images, and you keep on going on cue to what he expects. When you hear the music of trouble in your life, bow down and lose your faith. When you hear the music of disappointment in your life, bow down to what you've set up and look at instead of hearing the word of God. When you hear the music of another frustrating thing you are facing, bow down just like I expect you to. When you have another frustrating trial, bow down to what I've set up and take your eyes off of Jesus. When you hear the music of another challenge in your life, just bow down to what I have set up. Jesus in the wilderness, he is hungry. His body is physically weak, and Satan comes and tempts him, and tempting him is what Satan does. And in Satan's final attempt of tempting him, what does he do? Again, the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and glorify or the glory of them, and saith unto Jesus, he says, all these things will I give thee if you will fall down and worship me. The expectation of the enemy is for us to bow down to what he puts in front of us. That's his expectation.
Come on. Just bow down what you're going through. You're nothing.
Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus also said, don't you get it twisted. There is only one I'm going to bow down to. There's only one I'm going to worship. There's only one that I'm going to serve. And if I start walking in the ways, I will start walking in the minority. I will not be sold out in who I worship. And of course, the Chaldeans show up. And there are all the ones that go and tell the king, hey, there are some that are not bowing down. Why do you think you're going through the trials you are going through? Can I tell you, don't you get it twisted. The one that had more trials in their life was the ones that refused to bow down. You're saying, why am I going through so much? Could it be because you made up in your mind you weren't going to bow? Don't you get it twisted. It's only the enemy showing you how good you are in the sight of God and how committed you are. So when I'm going through a test and when I'm going through a trial, I say, Rodney, don't you get it twisted. The devil's mad at you. The devil don't like what's going on in your life. The Chaldeans said, King, there are a few that are not doing what you want them to do. I pray in this house, the imps of Satan will begin to see some individuals that say they're changing their mind. They're changing their worship. They're changing their mindset in this house.
So this is where the title and the heart of this message is presented to you. He called the three Hebrew boys to him, and he asked them two wrong but interesting questions. The message is titled, You Asked the Wrong Question, Sir. Daniel 3:14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods? That's the wrong question, sir. You're asking it in a way that you are totally surprised in what you are seeing. You're asking it in a way like this shouldn't be the case. You're asking it like because you are in a position of higher authority than me in the natural, that should be the normal that I bow down to you. You're asking it like you really believe that your gods are greater than my gods. Sir, you've asked the wrong question. I don't serve your gods because they are no gods at all. I know who the one true God is. And you think because right now in the natural, there's some things you got the upper hand on. Don't you get it twisted. You've asked the wrong question. My God is real, and my God is truly in charge. Nebuchadnezzar's a statement question is what the enemy wants to ask each and every one of us here. Are you serious with all that you're facing? Look, I conquered you in some areas. There are some true defeats that you have to succumb to in your life. Shouldn't you be bowing down? That's what Nebuchadnezzar's doing. I'm ruling you. How dare you not bow down to what I put in front of you? I've conquered you in some areas. You've fallen in some areas. Don't you serve my gods? That was the first question he shouldn't have asked. But here's the second one. The last part of Daniel 3:15. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And here's the wrong question. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Did you just ask me that? Did you just say that? Do you think that your threats and the heaviness that you're trying to present in my life is automatically then negating the God that I serve? Are you
man enough or bold enough or have the audacity to ask me a question, who is the God you serve? Let me tell you, you've asked the wrong question, sir. Don't you get it twisted. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God that we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But if not, don't you get it twisted. But if not, he's still my God. Come on, somebody. If he don't heal me, he's still my God. If he don't deliver me, he's still my God. If he don't change nothing, he's still my God. But don't you get it twisted. For God I live, for God I die. I will not serve your God. I will not back up. I will worship the one true King. Someone raise your hands right now and worship the Lord in this house. You know what Daniel's trying to show us? Don't you allow the devil to bully you. Don't you make him think because you are in the minority now in your mindset that he has the power over you and to try to cause you to doubt your God. You don't have to doubt your God. God is able to bring you out. God is able, in other words, to deliver you from the consequences of what you're trying to present to God. The enemy believes that the natural consequences should sway from us from staying dedicated to the God that we serve. Sometimes in the natural, you make a sacrifice to serve God, there will be a natural consequence. Sometimes living for God causes more problems in your life. And we get it twisted thinking, wait a minute, it should be opposite. I'm saying, no, wrong teaching. Serving God causes more problems. It does. Because you're in opposition against the king of this world. You got to get that. So stop getting angry at God. You should be rejoicing in the God that says, Job, you got what it takes. Job, I trust you. Job, I know you're going through a storm. It's only because I'm telling the devil, don't you get it twisted. They're not going to lose their praise. They're not going to lose their hallelujah. They're not going to lose their fervency when things don't go their way. Don't you get it twisted. Now, if not, I want to tell you something, O King. We're not going to serve your God. I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to lose my consecrations. I know things are not the way I want them, but I'm not letting go of my walk with Jesus. So I want to tell you something. I want to make something clear to you. Don't get it twisted. I'm not worshiping and bowing down the things you set up. You think that my dedication to God is connected with how much threats and problems I get from you. You said that you were going to heat up the fiery furnace if I don't bow down. So you think that by giving me more trouble, that would change my mind. That's how little the devil thinks of us. That's how little he thinks of you. That if I give you more problems, you'll bow. So we as a church are making a declaration. We don't care how bad it gets. Don't you get it twisted. We're not going to bow. We're not backing up. I don't care how many threats you give me. Don't you get it twisted. I don't serve God because he keeps me from the fire. You better hear what I'm saying. I don't serve a God because he always keeps me from harm. He always keeps me from any type of scars or battle. He always kind of keeps me and shelters me. And I never feel any pain. I never feel any hurt. I never feel any sorrow. He keeps me from that. And that's why I serve God. That's not why I serve God. It's not I serve God because he keeps me from problems and keeps me from trials and keeps me from circumstances. That's not why I serve him. I serve God because even if I go through the fire, I know that God is with me. Yeah, and that's why when they got thrown in the fire and everything was on them was cuffed up and they fell down in the fire. I might fall down in the fire, but the Lord is going to rise me up at the right moment, at the right time. Yeah, I might be going through the fire. In fact, the king heats it up 7 times hotter. Hey, what difference does it make on how hot the fire gets? It don't matter. I'm not going in by myself anyway. I don't care how high y'all hear what I'm saying. I don't care how hot and how many more problems I get. It will only give God more glory when you heat it up.
You heat it up 7 times hotter, God gets 7 times more glory.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're frustrated because it's going from bad to worse. Change your mindset. It's going from bad to worse. Oh, God is about to get some big praise. Oh, come on, clap your hands if you believe that. If things are going from raining to pouring, you should start shouting right now. If things are going from bad to worse, you should be shaking your head and say, I'm getting ready for a breakthrough. If things are getting worse than were last year, I'm getting closer to what God is trying to take my life.
Now I'm closing. Verse 21, all these men were bound in their coats. You're a fit bound by what you're dealing with? Their hose and their hats, their other garments, and they're thrown in the middle of a fire. Tied up. Many times we take a stand in various areas and we feel like we're tied up. We feel that our whole life has been bound. Everything has been strapped, tying us down. We feel like we're doing the right things and yet I'm in the middle of a fire. But don't get it twisted. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they did fall down in the middle of the burning fiery furnace. They fell down bound in the middle, but they weren't going to stay down. Come on, somebody. You may have fell down, but you're not going to stay down. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You may have been thrown down. You may feel bound up, but I'm going to tell you, God is about to loose you in the middle of your fire. God is about to loose you in the middle of the hottest presence you're in right now. And ask for the question that you asked Nebuchadnezzar. You answered your own question, not me. Can I tell somebody? There's someone in the fire with you. And Nebuchadnezzar, you are the one who posed the question. Who is this God that will deliver you out of my hands? But the answer came out of your own mouth. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. How many is ready to astonish your enemy in this house? The enemy is the one who got up. It was the enemy that spoke up. It was the enemy that got his counselors and his rulers together and asked them, did we not cast 3 men bound? I thought we had them tied up. I thought we had them tied down. I thought we put them in the middle of a hot situation. And they answered and said unto the king, yes, true, you only sit in 3. Well, then he says, oh my, I see 4 men loose walking in the middle of the fire, and there's so much revelation with that all by itself. I could preach that thing for another 30 more minutes, that God will walk with you in the middle of your fire. And if God is in the middle with you in your fire, notice they weren't lying down. Notice they were walking in the middle of your fire. Don't you tell me what you're going through. You can't walk. I tell you, the Holy Ghost of God's with you. Whatever fire you're going through, you can walk in the middle of your fire.
fire, you can walk in the middle of your pain, you can walk in the middle of your heaviness, you can walk in the middle so long that Jesus is with me, I can walk through a storm. So long as Jesus is with me, I can walk through a testing situation. But that's not the full revelation. The full revelation is that he asks, who and what kind of God can deliver you out of my hand? They're the ones that said God does not dwell with flesh. It was the enemy that has these certain level of expectations towards you. But when God shows up in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your fire, it will even change the mindset of your worst enemies. Oh, did you hear what I said? Devil, don't you get it twisted. Because when I come out of this thing, it won't be out of my mouth. It will be out of your mouth. I see one. The form is like the Son of God. I don't know how you got out, but there's somebody that must be more powerful than I. There's somebody I'm recognizing. And can I tell you all today? His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's a will in the middle of a will. He's a lily of the valley. He is the I Am Almighty God. If you were standing on your feet this morning, you asked, who is that God? Who shall deliver me out of my hands? Well, you just identified him. You may be going through a fire today. You may have some images that are in front of you. And the devil is putting questions in your mind to question God. You got to say, devil, you've asked the wrong questions. I'm going to keep on serving God. If that's you, raise your hand right now and say, God, transfer me from the majority to the minority. The strategy is recognizing no matter how bad things are in the natural, no matter how many threats are against me, no matter how much I feel my back as against the wall, God is able. That's what Daniel was presenting. Daniel was telling the majority, I know you're hurting. I know you're lonely. I know you feel like you're a failure. But I gotta tell you, God is on your side. So one more time, lift your hands unto the Lord and say, Lord, I will serve you. Lord, I'm dedicated to you. Lord, I'm committed to you. And no matter what questions of doubt the devil puts in my ear, I'll turn it back on him and say, sir, you've asked the wrong question. And that's you.